Man, I love this place. Feel the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the worship. Well, first of all, I want to thank Tiffany and Josh for having me here. You guys have a beautiful ministry, and I have to honor the parents, Imogene and Marty. You've sowed some great seed. It shows with Josh. I've got to spend a lot of time with him this last year, and you've sowed a lot of seed in this city, brother. God's not done with you yet. Both of you guys, complete healing for you in Jesus' name. Making bold declarations.
Yes.
And my wife, Melissa, thank you for your support. Thanks for introing for her for me. I'll start with that, guys. We as a church, as a body of Christ, you know, we talk about faith, and we keep saying, the stories of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. Well, the stories are still alive today. That we are the living Bible today. We are the walking living Bible. We don't have to keep referring back to the old days. Those guys already did their job. They're an example for us to walk the earth today. The Bible is being, it's continued, and it's us, and they're writing it, right? Some of our story is already written. We need to fulfill it, but to do that, we need to do our part and walk this earth. And one of the things, one of the verses that's very powerful to me, we have so much authority that we're not taking, we're not walking in today. When Christ stepped out of the boat, the demons came to him. He didn't even have to go call them. They came to him trembling because they knew the authority he had. Soon as he put his foot on the ground, they were like, oh, Lord, he's here. We have to submit. This is the authority we walk in all parts of our life. And it's time for us to own it, guys. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff coming. I'm not saying that in a fearful way, in a faith way, that if you're not prayed up, if you're not fasted, you're not ready to go, there's war coming to your doorstep. Have you ever seen Lord of the Rings? I mean, the devil a lot of times shows his hand through stories that we see on TV and sitcoms and different things like that. And I've been watching stuff for the last 20 years, and things that have been played out in Hollywood is playing out right now. One of V for Vendetta, and whether you like that movie or not, if you haven't seen it, go watch it. That movie is happening right now, unfortunately. Lord of the Rings, one of my favorites. It's an allegory. But what's happening is happening right now around the world. It's happening in the Middle East. And don't think it's not far from our shores. It's already here. But we have nothing to fear. We have to walk in authority. I want to share a story with you guys. And we hear all these horror stories about Israel and everything happened over there. And it is horrible what's happening in the Middle East on both sides, on all sides. No child should die. No women and children should be murdered, right? We're all part of God's kingdom. We're all God's children. I recently heard a story how a grandmother was in a bunker and she prayed fervently. She was reading Psalms. I think it was Psalms 91. The whole book of Psalms. Through the whole time the attack was going on, and their family was spared. Her children, her whole family was spared, although there was nothing but chaos around her. It's almost like a ring of fire. This word is alive. The Bible is alive. We are the living Bible. So if we choose to run a circle around us, and that circle of fire, there could be everything falling apart, and we will still be spared. I mean, this is what the verse says, right? Although 1,000 fall to my right, 10,000 to my left, I'll be fine. So do we believe that or not? And that's what I want to challenge you guys on today is one of the videos I put up. We just launched my YouTube channel. Thanks to Josh, he's my IT guru. I just give him what I need, and he just does all the work for me. And one of the first, I wanted to honor God, and one of the words he gave me a couple of years ago, right before this whole China virus debacle happened, I think it was February or so, and I was in the middle of worship in a group like this, and I got these massive downloads, and I couldn't write them down fast enough. So I wrote it down, And I went back and I scripted it the way God told me to, and I released it to small groups, never shared it publicly. And for the first time, I shared it on the YouTube channel. So if you go to Tosh James, you can listen to it. It's about 9 minutes. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. But the whole thing was God was challenging me and to challenge the body of Christ to say, the stories that you've heard since you were a child, David and Goliath, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, all your kids could tell a lot of these stories. They've heard them all their lives. Are they fairy tales to you? I mean, are they really the truth? Do you really look at it, listen to it, and understand it like it is true? Like if they throw you in the lion's den today, will you be able to walk out? Will you tell the lion to shut up, just like Daniel did? Will you tell Goliath to go jump in the lake? Will you challenge Goliath, or will you bow down? I mean, David came out and he mocked him. He said, "Who's this uncircumcised Philistine think he can talk to us this way? What are y'all doing? Y'all just hanging out, taking all this noise from this guy? Let's just take care of this Goliath." As we have Goliaths at our door, whether it's a challenge with our child, challenge in our marriage, challenge in our business, they're all Goliaths that can be slain. We just got to be able to say, "Lord, show me the way. Show me how. I believe that your stories from old are true and they're not dead. I will operate in that spirit today." So I want to challenge you guys with a few things, and I'm just getting warmed up. So, and one of the things that's happened, I feel like, and it just breaks my heart, is we have let witchcraft enter the church and the body of Christ. We are listening to the wrong voices. And I'm challenging you here, not in condemnation, so you start listening to the right voices such a time as this. When Jesus was on this earth and the disciples are walking with him, Jesus was God. He was all man, all God. We agree on that? Okay, so we were all, do you think you make better decisions? I mean, the Holy Spirit rested on him and never left him, right? So if the Holy Spirit's on him and never left him, it should spill over on you. So we should be making better decisions. And the disciples did. Is this, even though as much as time they spent with him, they were still lacking faith at some times. They were also allowing thoughts to enter their mind when they were right there with him. He even had to rebuke them. He said, "You don't know what spirit you're of." I mean, he was right there with him. My point of this is this. Anytime a thought enters our mind, we have to check it. It's like a linebacker checking the line. He doesn't guys go right by him, and that's what happens with us. And we have to check it with the thought. If the thought doesn't, getting life, and it becomes flesh. The last few years, we made so many mistakes when it comes to health. So I'm transitioning into the health side, because that's my strong suit. I've been around this for 20 plus years. I've been with scientists to doctors. I challenge them no matter where I go. And I say, "Look, did God make mistakes? We've been around for 1900 some odd years, and all of a sudden the best technology, the best so-called medicine, I don't even call it medicine anymore, drugs, can't save our lives. We have the sickest countries in the world. The most developed countries today are the sickest countries in the world. We're right there in the number one and two behind the United Kingdom. How is that even possible? You can find a more healthier person in the villages of Africa or India or China than you can in the most prominent areas of America or United Kingdom. I want you to think about that. What are we doing different? What's happening here? You know, I've been private about this, not quiet, but private about this over the last decade and a half. 2019, God said clearly to me, I was sitting in my home, minding my own business, watching TV, and I hear him say, "It's time for you to start talking about this." I'm like, "Why? I love my life. I like what I do. Why don't you just send them to me? Why do you want me to say something about this?" And after a few back and forths and battles, the message was very clear. He said, my generals are dying. My captains are dying. My body is deteriorating. And I said, yeah, I know. You say, my people perish for not lack of knowledge. You know, what do you want me to do about this thing? You know, and I'm joking about some of this stuff because I try to keep it a little light. But guys, we have surrendered to us a spirit of pharmakeia. And I try to keep it black and white. I've got a lot of friends that are very smart doctors that are general practitioners to high profile specialists and even surgeons that have been practicing for 30, 40 years. I ask them the same thing. Why do they call you an MD? I said, well, of course, we're MDs. We're medical doctors. I was like, yeah, but you don't have any medicine. It's everything you give everybody will either harm or destroy their health. Don't take my word for it. I mean, everything you prescribe, at best, you are drug doctors. And I'm not beating them up. You know, it's a two-part thing. We have turned our modern-day physicians into licensed drug dealers. Because I've done office visits with a lot of these guys. Because they tell me, come, let me show you what my problem is. Come visit with me. So I'm sitting there, and the patients are telling the doctors what they want, and they have to do it. They say, no, I don't want to do that. Just give me my script. I want my antibiotic. It's like nobody wants to be proactive to change their health and allow God's design to heal themselves. So back to the spirit of pharmakeia. When you have things, and I'm doing this in love, guys. I'm helping you. We have this generation growing up is the sickest generation of all times. The 20 and 30-year-olds are sicker than the 60, 70, and 80-year-olds. How is that possible? You know, when I was in school a few years ago, we may have 20, 30 kids in our class. There'd be one kid that was maybe a sickly kid or one kid that had skin issues or zits. We all know who it was, right? I tried to be friends with them. I was one of the athletes. So you had to be nice, you had to be good. You had to be a good example. Even though all the other kids made fun of them. But today, almost half the kids are sick. Most of the kids have skin issues. You cannot keep claiming that we have the best healthcare system in the world and have the sickest population ever in the world. So let's go back and test this spirit. It's a spiritual thing. So when everything you've been given from childhood, you take anything that's on the market that's put out by pharmakeia, go read their own subtitle, their own clause on what they say it does. It's black and white. So back to my conversations with doctors and scientists. I say, look, guys, you can bury me. I'm helping a cardiovascular guy right now. He's a 30-year cardiovascular MD. He teaches. He can't fix his own heart. He can't fix his own health. So I said, and he starts telling me all these studies, and I said, time out. Hang on. You can bury me with studies, and I'm not here to argue with you. Here's a cup. If I push this cup, it's going to move. This is physics, this is science. If I stop, it's gonna stop. If I keep pushing it, when it runs out of surface, it's gonna fall. Can we agree on that? That's science. Don't come back and tell me you did a study with 1,000 people and 999 people saw the cup levitate. I will agree with supernatural, okay? So I'm good. That cup levitated 999 times, great, supernatural. It's not science, unless there's something attached to it holding it up. This is what's happened with science today, is we have manufactured evidence, manufactured science, trying to prove to people what something is and it's not. So when you take any drug that's on the market, go put it in YouTube, go look it up on the web, and it'll tell you all what they call as side effects. I call it partnership. I call it covenant. you're making covenant with the pharmakeia spirit. So when it says it, this and this and this and this and this, and you take it anyway, well, what do you expect? So it's time for us to start using some wisdom. So every voice is not the right voice. Every spirit is not the right spirit. Just like Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. And unfortunately, the last 3 years, because of the concept of credentials and titles, when someone says, oh, that person's a doctor, we automatically believe what they say. Or it's a priest or a pastor. A lot of that has to be tested. You know, they have to operate in the authority and the spirit they've been given, but it has to line up with the kingdom. It has to line up with heaven. We have been given a beautiful body that should never get sick. That is a foreign concept to most people because of where they're at today. But I'm here to tell you, you can receive complete healing, but you got to stop making mistakes too. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, Lord, heal me. He heals you, and then you go off and do things that it doesn't line up with design. It doesn't line up with kingdom. So let me look at my notes here. I don't want to go too far off the track. Are we doing okay, Josh? All right. Yeah, we may have the three-letter agencies logging on, trying to figure out what's going on here. And that's why I love Kevin. Him and I have spoken at a couple events together. I love Kevin. I saw him speak online, I think 3-4 years ago. He was on with John Ramirez. And you know, they've been talking about some of this stuff for probably four plus years now. When Kevin started going full speed, and I still remember when I saw him the last time in Phoenix, he walked up to me because, I want you to keep making those videos. I was like, I don't think anybody even watching them, but I guess if you're watching them, I'll keep making them. So I made a new commitment this year, is to properly inform, properly educate people, because even me, I can't complain about people not making the right decisions if I'm not giving them the right information. So our goal, you know, Josh has partnered up with me on this to get some of this information out, and it's out of my comfort zone. And this is something, guys, I feel like there's a word for a lot of you guys. If something's out of your comfort zone, do it anyway. Like, this is not my comfort zone. I'd rather be at home watching TV or watching Josh preach than me be up here. So when God called me to be in front of the camera, I'm like, okay, well, I really don't want to. I gave that up almost 10, 15 years ago. I speak publicly, corporate America, personal development. Started listening to guys like, you know, Zig Ziglar and Tony Robbins when I was, you know, 18, 19 years old. So I can take the stage and I can do my thing, but I was like, that is just not me anymore. But that's not what God's called me back to, but God's called me to instruct the body of Christ and help the people that are willing to listen. Because we can leave the next generation in a better shape and better condition if we're just willing to test some of these spirits and change some of these ideologies that we've adapted to. Like, if we teach Shiloh right now that the color, this is gold, and from now on we make that orange, he's going to believe it's orange. And that's what's happened over the last several decades, is we've been passing down false information, and we're partnering with spirits are giving out false information, and our next generation is making mistake after mistake after mistake, and it's unfortunately parlaying into other things in life as well, not just health. So if we don't have our health, we really don't have anything. I mean, what are you going to do if, you know, you can have $1 million in the bank, and if you're sick, what is it worth? And if Steve Jobs is dead, not because he didn't have enough money, not enough resources, not enough access. He didn't know what spirit he was listening to. If you go read his autobiography that they wrote on him, it says right there, medical malpractice. They butchered him, cooked him, and he's dead. Shouldn't be. And this is happening to a lot of people in the faith. And when God gave me that word in 2019, said, my generals are dying, my captains are dying, We have a lot of good generals that left this earth early. That's why when someone says, oh, God took them, I was like, you know what? I'm not signing up for that. You can say whatever you want, but God did not take them home early. It's the mistakes they made that took them home early. So I'm not here to condemn them, but let's keep other people from making these mistakes. So we have to test the spirits that they were listening to. I'll just share some of the stories, my own stories. One of my favorite quotes, anytime I start a meeting, I start with this to help people take their walls down and just listen to what I'm saying is, we are created by our designer, yet we are programmed by our environment. So when I say a word, love, everybody's definition's different. If I had you write it down. If I say money, everybody's definition's different when we write it down. And there's truth, and then that's your reality as well. But your reality is not truth. We're a God of abundance. But so many of us live in lack and operate in lack because that's just our reality. And I'm not condemning you for that. Just that we have to break out of that, right? We have to get out of that cycle. We hear all these different stories about people that are living in cars and in shelters, and they become millionaires. How did that happen? They didn't have the pedigree. Like, that's what we're looking for, right? Well, if I was, you know, related to Bill Gates, or if I was, you know, Warren Buffett's son, it'd be different. You have the almighty God that owns everything, including those guys and what they own. So have him give you revelations. Have him give you understandings to break out of that poverty mentality. So, and same thing with health is we have to understand that God made a perfect design. We are unbreakable. We should never get sick. Even though, again, that's a foreign mentality. Here's some of my stories, and I had to learn from in difficulty. Coming from a very affluent family in India, this is the 70s and 80s, we had access to everything. We had Indian. Either you're a doctor or you own gas stations and hotels, right? So, you know, we were surrounded by doctors. I remember doctors in our home coming in. So because of that, we had access to the best. If another country had it, we had it because the upper echelon, the upper tier of India didn't lack. So we had access to every hospital, every doctor. And I think because of that, they over-medicated me. I was over-injected with stuff. Every time a nose sniffled, they took me to the doctor to give me something. I was probably one of the sicker kids looking back than the rest of the kids I hang out with. There were healthier kids in the slums right down the street than in our home. So, you know, looking back now, when I got to be 9, 10 years old, I was so sick and I was also like a zombie. And my mom's a very smart woman, chemistry background. She's actually one of the executives here recently. She just retired, but the last 20 years, she's one of the executives for some of the top pharmaceutical firms around the world. Traveled to 40 countries in the last 20 years. And when I was 9, 10, 11 years old, she said I was like a zombie and finally made a decision to pull me off of every drug they had me on. Because they couldn't figure out what the problem was. They couldn't fix me. By that time, I had a lot of organ damage as well because of all the synthetics. Every drug that's on the market will harm your organs. It will destroy your liver and your kidneys. So they're taking you the opposite direction. They're pushing closer to the box, to life. So when I was 12 years old, I still remember this. I was told I needed surgery and procedures. And my mom decided to get a second opinion. Thank God for wise moms. So I tell you today, that's a word of wisdom. When someone tells you you need a procedure or surgery, always go get a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth opinion. This is why I tell people, look, if they tell you you need surgery next week, ask them, am I gonna be dead by Wednesday? Okay, all right, if I'm not gonna be dead, I'm gonna come back and see you. Read between the lines what I'm saying to you. So my mom chose to get a second opinion. And we went out to the country, a female physician, MD, we sat down and we did a real evaluation. She started taking notes, listened to my mom, what she had to say, wrote down all the history of what happened. And she had two conclusions. One, it's good that you took him off all the drugs. Two, I doubt he needs surgery. Three, you've got a spoiled child that gets whatever he wants, eats all the candy, goes to the bakery and gets whatever he wants because we had an account there. And so change his eating habits. You know, he's 90% meat and almost no vegetables and fruits. So let's change that first before we put the knife to him. The best decision my mom ever made. Because that summer, she kidnapped me because we were living with my grandparents. She knew what was going to happen at the house. She kidnapped me, took me to my aunt's house, and dropped me off there for 3 months. Because summers there are much, much longer. And those 3 months, my aunt didn't give me anything but fruits and vegetables. She made me fish maybe once a week, like Sunday or so. And some red meat every once in a while. Over 3 months, my health got better. This is God's design at work. This is what true health is. I still remember that. And we went back, and she took, my mom was smart. She said, you know what, let's go back to both physicians. She went back to the one out in the country. She said, this kid's we don't even know if this kid's the same kid. He's doing great. Keep doing what you're doing. We went back to the one in the city. They did all the checks, right? They had the best equipment in the world at that time. Did all the checks, EKG, ECG, whatever, all the vitals, checking scans. And they said, well, we don't know what's going on, but he's fine. Just keep doing what you're doing. So my point to that story is we have, before we make decisions, drastic decisions when it comes to our health, always get a doesn't hurt to do that. Usually doesn't even cost any more to do that. Because this God's design, this body is the only one you have to live in from the day you're born to the day you die. And one of my favorite sayings is, dying is easy. Is when you're so miserable that you're praying to die is a problem. And there's a lot of people in this world in that situation, and they shouldn't have to be. So I'm gonna close it out. Josh, I think, wanted to do some Q&A. I want to close it out in prayer, and then we'll do some Q&A. Father God, we just thank you for your time. We pray that we've stewarded this well, and I pray that I've stewarded it well, and shared some wisdom and knowledge that is much, much needed in the world today. We just thank you for what you're doing in each and every one of our lives. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for the healing of the people that are watching this. And we welcome the supernatural healing, Father. And we partner with you. We partner with the kingdom to steward our health, to steward our bodies, to be better than it ever was at any time in our life. And we bless everyone here in Jesus' name.
All right. Now, for those who are watching online, what we're going to do, we'll do one question. It's kind of a general question, and then we'll kind of cut the live feed. That's why I need to be here in person. And, I'm being like that. Exclusive. No, but I want people here that are in person be able to ask questions, and I don't want to put everybody's business out online. But for those who are watching online, everything that Tosh said, and I'll ask the question here in a second, and it's going to, because you're probably asking, well, how do we steward our bodies? How do we do this? And, I've been working with Tosh for a little over a year now, and I've watched holistic medical therapies, and I've seen the case studies, I've seen his clients, and what he's saying is true. I started his program. When I started, I was 180 pounds. my blood was, as Tosh said, your blood looks like molasses. And I was just steak and potatoes. And my parents are here, they can attest to it, that I don't eat vegetables at all. Spaghetti, like I was just horrible, sugar, like all that. It comes to a point where it's like, I need to live for my children and for my family. And plus, people are like, Josh, why do you work out? Why do you get healthy? It's not so I can look good. It's so I can continue to dominate my children in every aspect of life. No, I'm just fine. But but I wanted to be here for the long haul because I knew, God had something big. And again, like as Tosh said, my generals are dying. And especially with COVID and the China virus and different stuff, I'm watching people that I love who are getting cut short and who are – are dying or having this ailment, and they're not being able to do it, and it was upsetting me. So now I've done his food program, and I'm just in my last couple of days and weighing myself, I'm down to 169, and I'm feeling great. I make smoothies once a day, have about a 20-ounce smoothie every day, all organic, hitting the gym 3 times a week if possible, and changing my lifestyle so I can be who God created me. Because again, God isn't stupid. He wasn't like when COVID hit, when all that, he wasn't like, oh snap, didn't see that coming down. He knew that was coming. And so, and actually I've been hearing a few different voices saying, hey, you need to get your bodies in shape in these last days because we don't know what's coming. A lot of prophetic voices are actually saying, hey, prepare your bodies now. And so in this new season with our ministry, what we've been talking about, we're a triune person, spirit, soul, and body. So yes, we talk about the spiritual, but there's a physical part that we need to take care of. Mm-hmm. You know, going to Mexico many times with Kelvin, we'll pray for people who have diabetes, and God will heal them. Doc will confirm. We'll go back the next year. They don't change any of their lifestyle, so even to put the tamales and the tortillas. I'm not saying that's wrong. That's good stuff. And then they have diabetes again. Yeah. And we're like, there has to be a change. And and so even to, I'm not eating salads or anything yet, but I'm getting better. I'm getting there. I made chicken gnocchi soup, and I'm dicing up spinach and putting in smoothies. This morning with my kids, I had green eggs. We chopped up spinach in our eggs, and so for the first question, and then we'll kind of end, and then we'll have a Q&A here for those who are here. So Tosh, you said all this. How do we steward our body naturally? What are the steps that we can take now today, to help reverse the stuff of all the, whether it be bad eating, whether it be vax, and you know us here is we're not pro vax, anti vax, we're pro design. You know, I stole that from Tosh. But what is the first, how can I help steward the body? What can I do right now?
Yeah. It's always food first, guys. We have to go back to eating real food. And if you heard me speak before on this subject, I love using this example. If you ever watch the movie The Matrix, Part 1, the mechanic that betrays everybody, he's in the restaurant and he's having a steak with the bad guys. And he goes, you know, this, I know this looks like steak, it smells like steak, it even tastes like steak, but it's not steak. You know, I'm in the Matrix, right? And that's what's happened today. We can all go to the best steakhouse in San Antonio, and I'm glad to be back in San Antonio. I didn't ever think I was going to say that because I've been here since 1991. Been spending a lot of time in California with my wife and just came back to visit for a few weeks. But we go to the best steakhouse in San Antonio. They all got their steaks from a distributor. So it's not real meat anymore. It's been grazing on foods that are filled with pesticides. It's been injected with antibiotics and who knows what else, hormones, steroids, everything to beef up these cows. And unless the steakhouse is being conscious about going out and getting wild range with none of that stuff, you're consuming everything that animal consumed. So we're just not eating real food anymore. That's the number one problem. I was in Nepal on the third humanitarian trip I went on, and I wanted to prove a point. So I weighed myself before. I don't weigh myself. It's not about weight. So weighed myself to prove a point. When we were there for, I think, almost 10 days, and you know, if you've been on humanitarian trips, they want to honor you, and they'll feed you until you're blue in the face and you can't breathe anymore. And so they were feeding me 3 times a day. I came back 10 pounds lighter because the body was going, this is real food. I can process this. I can use it. And I felt so much better. How can you eat 3 times a day, which you don't need to eat 3 times a day, but and weigh 10 pounds less because it's real food? I'll give you another example. We went to the British Virgin Islands on a fun vacation trip with a bunch of friends, and they brought us fresh fruit every morning, fresh fish every morning, and it was for about 7 days. On the way back, we flew into the U.S. Virgin Islands, stayed at a top resort at a point of the ocean. We were there for one night. I woke up the next morning, went and had breakfast. I couldn't even eat the fruit. It was disgusting. Five-star hotel. The difference, it was, there was so much difference between the fruit in the British Virgin Islands, where they were growing it on farms, probably in somebody's backyard, versus them growing something at farms here that are subjected to everything we just talked about and brought in by a distributor. And it's been sitting on the shelves. So number one, to answer your question, we have to be conscious about putting real food in our body. That alone can cause cancer in the body. I'll give you one more example to that. And I've heard this from one of our scientists, old cultures. There's a story how a port that had ships coming in on a village, the villagers started consuming the foods that were coming in on the ships because they came in nice, shiny packages. They stopped eating their homegrown foods. That port started getting cancer over the next 3 to 5 years, but they didn't know why. Cancer was at an all-time high amongst other diseases. 40 miles inland, all those people were just fine. So they were trying to reason, like, what is going on here? Same country, 40 miles inland in this village, these people are perfectly fine, no problems, but all these people at the port are getting sick. They have cardiovascular disease, they have cancer, most of them were getting cancer, and they tracked it back to all the packaged foods they were eating, because it's just not real food. So again, we have to be conscious about eating real food. So with us, almost everything that comes into the home is real food. We read every label, the less ingredients on it, the better. We search it out, we may pay a few dollars more, but either you pay now or you pay later. It's that simple. So go out and find it, whether it's a farm, it's a, you know, farmer's market, but most grocery stores are now forced to carry organic foods because people are asking for it. People are being more conscious about it. And that's 80% of our palate. The rest of it, the other 20%, if I do go eat at that steakhouse, I'm not concerned about it because my body's in a good state. It's at fighting mode. So if I pick up something, it's going to fight it. But when it's the other way around and it's 20-80, you're going to get in trouble. This is not me speaking over this country or speaking over anybody watching this or even here. If you don't change that, everybody in this country will end up with cancer. It's inevitable. It's like me pushing the cup. It's at the end of the table, it's gonna fall. So I'm not speaking that the cup's gonna fall. The cup's gonna fall. So if you don't change this, if you're not conscious about this stuff, this is a trajectory. They haven't stopped building hospitals, guys. They're building more hospitals than hotels. And they can't fix the problem. You have to fix the problem. You have control over this. And you can fix it for you and your children.
Wow, thank you. Man, just another quick question. So there's so much information, and again, Tosh has a, you know, we'll put in the comments, but you can go to toshjames.com. I mean, there's just a different, how can it, Josh, you know, I said something about a feeding program. Do you have any information? Do you have resources that you promote or that you do?
Sure. So God gave me some downloads and revelations over a four-month period when I was looking for a food plan. I needed to create something because so many people that come to me, unfortunately, are extremely sick. They already have cancer. That's 90% of people that come to me. I wish they would come to me sooner, but they come to me when they've got a terminal diagnosis or they've already made so many mistakes in the industry, cardiovascular disease, and they have to make extreme changes. They don't have a choice, right? And because of that, they're able to do it. They're motivated. So they want to live, they're motivated. So the first thing I do is put them on a food plan that we can control. 10 years ago, I would say, hey, just eat everything organic. Okay, just make sure you check the labels, eat everything organic, and just send me a report. Well, we started finding out not everybody was doing that. Goes along for about a couple of weeks, and if they're not understanding what I mean by that, they get off course and I got to get them back on. They get off course, I got to get them back on. So I created a four-month plan that God took me down, and I myself, I started, I was 188 when I started that, when God walked me through it. When I got done with it, I was 148, 20 pounds lighter than I am right now. And people were like, what are you doing? What's going on? Are you okay? Are you sick? I was like, no, I feel great. I was bouncing off the walls. I was sleeping 4 hours a night. I had so much energy. So the food plan, it's called Life 120. You can go to life120.com and follow it day by day, phase by phase, and it'll help you repair and regenerate your body, because you have your bone marrow is the lifeline to your body. So here's a simple process of how your body functions. You ingest, you digest, you absorb, you nourish the liver, you nourish the bone marrow. That's it. That's science, how your body functions. Whether it's a cup of coffee, I'm eating a banana or a steak or barbecue or whatever it is, the process doesn't change. The quality of what you ate and the nutrition that's in it determines the end result of how the blood's being produced. The bone marrow creates white blood cells, red blood cells, stem cells, platelets. Those are all your warriors. They clean up your pipes. They fight infection. They clean up your pipes, fight infection. They fix and repair tissue, all of that at the same time. But if those warriors are not fit, if they're not super warriors, especially with all the stuff that's coming, that bone marrow is going to fail. That fort's going to fall because it's built on sand, not on rocks. So, again, to start all of that, you got to go back to eating real food. So the food plan, it's called Life 120. You can go to life120.com and pick it up and follow it. And it doesn't matter how healthy you think you are, you can do it and it'll still help you.
Yes. So life120.com, we encourage everyone to start that. And I've done it. Tiffany's done it. The vegetable phase is very tough for me.
Hey, I'm proud of you, man. You did it.
I did more fasting on that one, but I did it. And I, you know, and so it changed my palate. And so I'll end with this, you know, especially when it comes to the health aspect, you know, going on different mission trips with Kelvin, I remember talking with him and he's like, yeah, a lot of people want to go with me, but a lot of people are out of shape. And a lot of people couldn't hang because we went to Africa, we were in for 20 days. We go to Mexico. I mean, our days are jam-packed. We're up early. My last trip, there's nights we wouldn't get home till 1 o'clock in the morning, praying for people, preaching, you know, going here, going to rehab centers, going to jail, all of this. And it is so taxing and grueling. He said, you know what, Josh, a lot of people want to go, but they can't go because they're out of shape, they're sick. No longer will we be on a mission trip. Now you become the mission. And I remember when he said that, it like flipped a switch in my head. I'm like, whoa, I need to be in shape and be healthy for what God has called us to do. I remember when Ethnos, when we started, my parents know we'd work all day in the sun in Casiano Homes, all day in the sun, picking up kids, going to pools. I mean, it was grueling. And I was like, I can't, just thinking about it, I was like, man, I can't do that for the next 20 years, you know, 40 years of my life. It's going to kill me, you know? And so this is where I'm like, I really felt like the Lord saying, hey, you got to do, you got to get your body back in shape. Because I was a horrible eater. So life120.com, go check out. There's more information. I know Tosh will be doing master. We have all this stuff, all this information is coming out to help the body of Christ. We should be the healthiest.
Yeah.
I mean, we should be the healthiest people. We're like, my God, they never get sick, you know, and everyone else is coughing and hacking up. Me and Tip, we've been great. It's a twofold thing. It's not super spiritual, but it's spiritual and physical.
Yeah, it is.
It's not one or the other. It's both. Yes, first thing I do is Jesus. I need healing in my body. He heals me. But then the second part is the physical part is, okay, we're asking Jesus, heal my body, but yet we're still poisoning our body. And so this is all this information. I know it's a lot. If you want more information about what Tosh does, his connoisseur aspect of his health and wellness, you want more information, message us. We'll get more information to you. So we're going to
I want to share one more thing.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so just as we close this out, and this is... you know, a virus smaller than a grain of sand shut down the church. And I was in one person that had the faith enough, and I'm calling some people out now, on pulpits across the United States and the world, could step up and speak out about that. Our body is supernatural. So, and I'm not being prideful here. When that happened, I never stayed home. I never wore a mask. I traveled around the world on empty airplanes. And I was sitting in front of people that had full-blown COVID. Surgeons and doctors coming to my office. Priests from the Catholic Church. They were scared for me. I was like, I'm not scared. So there's twofold. One, I'm a man of faith. We're all men and women of faith. I said, this is a Goliath that I'm going to kill right now. I'm not even going to let the fear get into my head, my body, my mind. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to get COVID. Anything that the devil throws out from hell, it's going to get crushed. And it's unfortunate when we're supposed to be a powerful body of Christ, and you've got people threatening us. And I don't want to mention names. One of the most prominent attorneys in America told America that if you don't go get this jab, we'll drag you out of your home and jab you. You don't want to know what I said, but I'm going to tell you what Farrakhan said. He's Muslim, but I tell you what, at least he was man enough to stand up when all the cowards on the pulpit shut down. He said, you come with your army, we're going to come with our army. How is it possible a man of Muslim faith has more faith than all these guys put together? And I said, you know what? I'll stand with him. If David can fight with the Philistines against Saul, I will fight with him against the gates of hell all day long. I'm done.